This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Bomb hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 165. Can't believe they pay us nothing to do this.
It's fun, isn't it?
I was going to say, I can't believe they pay us to do this. I was like, they don't pay us to do this. We do this out of joy. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. We do love doing it, and we love our listeners and our loyal listeners here on the Fanbase podcast. On the agenda today, we'll get an update from the teams. We'll talk a little Shohei bobblehead and his dog, a little Little League World Series, then we'll talk a little Rich Hill, and then maybe a little bit of dropping the kids off at college. That's basically where we're at right now. I mean, for me, I'm going to get my stuff out of the way. They talk about the illusion of contention. I can't believe that the Sox are actually, as of Thursday, just three games out of the wild card. I feel like it's been over since they came out of the All-Star break in such crappy fashion and then didn't do anything the deadline that materially changed things. Having said that, once they get swept at home by the Astros and then the Diamondbacks in consecutive weeks. Right,
tough teams.
Right, but we know where they stand. They got their asses kicked by good teams.
Yep.
But then they go.
But they weren't teams in their division, which is helping them.
So either way, for the wild card is all that matters. And so I know we all know what they are. If they make the playoffs, which I don't think they will, they'll be the weakest team in the playoffs of either league. And it just seems like every time they get swept by Arizona, then they have a couple of good games against a good team. Like they just. They're teasing you, folks, and I'm not. Listen, I'm still all for it if they make that last wild card spot, but it's just they're not good enough. So, do we have to talk about them anymore? I mean, it's nice to see Cassis, the space cadet, back. It's you know, listen, I think that besides his, obviously he showed his hand in terms of his self control and his macho man stuff with what he said at home plate. But Jaren Duran is a budding star.
Yeah,
in baseball.
He's a great player.
And, you know, Cora can't say enough about him.
The Red Sox have a lot of good talent on their team. They just need the pitching, and they just need consistency, and they just don't have that.
Yeah, and honestly, the 2 years in a row, the front office, even if they made...
Nothing at the deadline.
Nothing that materially changed things.
Right.
And, like, we talk about every day on my morning show on WTIC 1080, the relief, everyone knows, even the jack wagon at the coffee shop knows that the relief pitching stinks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not like it's a hard thing to do. They know. So
relief pitching is a hard thing to do. That's the problem. You know, the Yankees are facing that issue too. They've been facing it all season.
It's true.
Their acquisition sucked so far too.
Right. So even if they made deals, maybe it wouldn't have made a difference, but it's still frustrating. I think, I guess my larger point, that last year, I think they killed the spirit of the locker room when they didn't make a deal.
Right.
The clubhouse, if you will. And so I think that's part of it. The team doesn't feel
They're hanging in there. I mean, I feel like even like as of a week ago, they were basically out of it. And then they gained a couple games in the wild card. So it's interesting to see how it's going to fold out for the Red Sox.
Well, Minnesota's swoon has really helped that, right? Because Minnesota all of a sudden is now out of first in the Central.
Yeah, Minnesota's doing Minnesota things. And the Central is a mess as usual, but the Kansas City Royals are playing above the ceiling, as they have been all season, behind Bobby Witt.
Which everybody wants them to make.
Everybody's pulling for them. Yeah. But let's look at what the Boston has going out, coming forward, right? I mean, they have the Mets, which they should be able to beat. I mean, they're probably
the Mets are not bad.
They're not bad, but they're probably as far as matchup wise going, that's probably a pretty even shot. They got the White Sox, who are terrible, right? They should beat them. They got Baltimore, which will be tough. They got the Yankees, which will be tough. They got Tampa, which always play tough.
Yeah.
Minnesota, which that could be huge for them, obviously.
Correct.
Toronto, which we know. I mean, I'm done talking about Toronto.
Yeah.
And again, they finish with Tampa, which is not. They don't have an easy schedule for September.
No.
At all.
And then we'll compare that to the Yankees.
So they're going into St. Louis after a day off, and then they go Texas. I mean, those two teams, they should take care of, along with the Cubs after that. And
you should at least win series there.
You should be winning series, but again, they didn't win against the Nationals. We'll get to that in a bit. Kansas City after that for three, and then they got Boston for four. So Boston could be a thorn in the side of the Yankees once again going down the stretch. And then Seattle, which... who knows? Jekyll and Hyde with them.
They're kind of cooked, in my opinion.
I think they're cooked because the Astros are so much better than them right now, but they're still hanging around. They're still, since they fired their manager, they got a little bit extra zazz. And then they got Oakland. But this is West Coast, too, so you got to remember, they're going out west, the Yankees. That could affect them because they come right back and they got to play home against Baltimore, which could be
That
could be it right there, those three games. And obviously Pittsburgh's out of it after that. The Yankees finish in Pittsburgh and they're out of it. So will you see Skeens? Who knows? You know, who knows? But that's at least the Yankees have some mop-up after
that. Wouldn't it be fun if they could do a schedule flexibility and flip the Baltimore and Pittsburgh series?
It'd be nuts.
And even flip like Baltimore second
and
last series?
I think Baltimore finishes with Minnesota, so that's not easy. Because Minnesota's going to be fighting for their life, as they always.
It'd be nice to see Baltimore, New York to finish the season, though. I mean, the Yankees have an easier schedule than the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, listen, the Yankees, I think we sort of touched on it. It seems like the Orioles, I don't really understand. I don't know what's going to happen.
Pitching.
It's probably because John Means isn't there. But.
Well, I mean, the pitching is an issue, and they have injuries. You know, Mountcastle's been hurt. They got rid of Austin Hayes and Jordan Westbrook. Westbrook's been hurt. So that doesn't help. I mean, those are good players.
It's going to come down to the Dodgers, the Astros, and the Yankees.
The scary thing is the Astros. I mean, they have played so above their ceiling. They wiped out that deficit so huge over a month time against Seattle.
I thought they were done.
Done, and they did it without Kyle Tucker. They did it without Justin Verlander. And say what you want about his old age. The guy always shows up in the playoffs. He always shows up in the playoffs. And the Astros are going to make the playoffs. As much as I hate to say it as a Yankees fan, the Astros are going to make the playoffs this year. Yeah. So. But I mean, the Yankees, they got their work cut out for them too. I mean, listen, Aaron Judge has proven that Aaron Judge is the MVP, right? If you haven't thought about it, because he's hitting so many home runs and chasing his own record, look at the defense he just put up in
that double play.
It was insane. I mean, he's just such a notch above everybody else. But listen, the Yankees, obviously the bullpen's still an issue. The starting pitching is I can't figure it out, Brian. I just can't. I can't figure out if it's the fact that they are not attacking the zone. I don't know what it is because the Cole's walking too many people. It's just.
Do you think he'll figure it out in time?
I think he will figure it out in time. And the problem is you can't walk people at any level. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. He'll walk people like Cole walking people. It just doesn't work at any level. So you got to get that under control. The Yankees pitching is just a little just weird lately. And again, you know. Not again, but Soto finally is cooling off. 6 hits in his last 12 games, and I think 2 only for extra bases. So, you know, that's cooling off for him. And Soto not hitting doesn't help, right? He has to be on base, right? Judge has been doing Judge things. Yeah, he didn't finish off the National Series great, but he still was getting basically a hit in every game. So he's keeping his average up there as he chases the triple crown, which is pretty insane to think about.
Yeah, I mean,
Yankees need Rizzo back. They need Rizzo back. He should be back, I'm going to say, this weekend coming up.
What about Jazz?
Jazz is fine. He's back. He's playing. His defense has been a little skeptic. But then again, the Yankees, I mean, they stuck their foot in their you-know-what in the defensively in the Washington series.
Well, they had that four-error game.
Yeah, Rizzo needs to come back. He will balance that out big time because that will send DJ LeMahieu into a bench player role, which I don't know if you necessarily want DJ LeMahieu coming off the bench as a hitter, but he could definitely come off the bench as a defensive replacement if need be. But getting Rizzo back and his presence in the lineup will be huge. All right. I think he'll be back for the St. Louis series. Now, he's only had two minor league games, or three minor league games as of we speak now. And he's got a home run. He's got a couple hits. So it's just a matter of, is he going to be able to handle top-notch pitching? He's doing double A.
Like, he's got to do like a spring training type thing. So like he'll probably struggle for 2 weeks, and then by the time the season's winding.
Do the Yankees want to bring him back and have his trial be, you know, this weekend series against the Cardinals, or they want to let him lengthen it out again, maybe go up to AAA for a couple games and then come back to start the week off next week? So we'll see with that. But he will balance that lineup because Ben Rice is not getting what you need out of him. And hopefully Soto comes back and starts hitting a little bit better. You know, you can't rely on one guy all the time. Glaber's putting together some better at-bats. Volpe's been hitting the ball very well. He's been hitting the ball at people, but he's still striking out.
I'm amazed at how much baseball you actually still watch.
You know, in the bullpen, you know, the Mark Leiter Jr. has been a disaster pickup for the Yankees. And like I said, like I don't, Yankees fans have been spoiled, and I'm going to say it till I die that there'll never be another pitcher like Mariano Rivera. There'll never be another closer like it.
Yeah.
Say what you want about Edwin Diaz, he just blew two saves in a row. All right, like these guys, you get all excited about these guys, and they're gone two or three years.
Quick aside, my kids went to the National Card Show in Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah, and this summer, and they ran into Mariano at the airport. And
one of the best autographs in the world.
Well, and Max, for some reason, thought he played for the Red Sox.
Oh, boy.
And he totally screwed up his introduction. And he said, first of all, Mariano handled it like ridiculously well.
Yeah.
And even made a little video for my wife. And so it just, you know, the truth is like people pay money just to get his signature or whatever. And for him to do that at the airport was just so amazing. And I'll never forget, and I'll just read. So they, you know, he was with his brother and a buddy, and the buddy's a big Yankee fan, and they were all mortified at Max because his buddy Will was like, oh my God, that was the most embarrassing thing of all time.
Let me step in here, Mo. Sorry. Forget my friend.
But I'll never forget after, you know, opening day in 05 was against the Yankees. And, you know, Mariano, of course, you know, he was part of the huge collapse in 04, and the Fenway, we were at opening day with my wife.
He gave him a standing ovation.
And he tipped his cap.
Yeah.
And it was just, to me, like, I don't even know him that well. And I've, you know, I interviewed him. I think I was at the All-Star game in, I want to say 20, I don't even remember which one, where he was interviewed and he was. But the fact that he dealt with it with a sense of humor, I thought was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why it's a unanimous vote to the Hall of Fame. I mean, the guy literally like had three bad outings in his career. I mean, once Boston once, the World Series, which probably really honestly wasn't his fault in 2001. He kind of got shoved in that position.
Right.
And then like a random game against Oakland down the stretch one year. It was like he just didn't screw up.
They did it. I remember reading an article in the New Yorker, Roger Angel, who used to, you know, do all this baseball stuff in the New Yorker, about his pitch. You know, like, and what is behind the pitch?
Yeah.
What's the cutter?
Which apparently everybody throws now.
Right, but the fact that like this like super like intellectual magazine like approach this guy to do a story on him in this magical pitch. I don't know. Anyway, that was a digression. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. One of the coolest things, we had an argument. Matt Sorois, who produces the podcast, also produces the morning show. We talked about Shohei Ohtani and the first pitch by his dog on Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night. I thought it was kind of cool. Matt Sorois thought it was lame. You know, we don't like the Dodgers, so it's hard for me to like it. But, I mean, what? Was there people went nuts over the bobbleheads?
Yeah, so basically what happened is they offered Shohei bobblehead night, which he's holding his dog Decoy in the bobblehead. And this is the second bobblehead I think they've done of Shohei since he's become a Dodger. And this one, they were going to give away 40,000 of them. So the Dodgers are just, I mean, they got it figured out, right? Most bobbleheads are like, oh, the first 10,000 fans or 12. No, they're like, all right, we got 54,000 fans we could put in this thing. Let's give away 40,000 of these so we know we'll get 40,000 people here, right? And of course, it's going to be crazy, but not as crazy as they thought it would be. Like 10 hours beforehand, they're like lining up at like 9 in the morning. To get in line for these bobbleheads to get in. They had to open up the gates early. They had to open up parking early. And then apparently there was like close to 2,000 of them were gold.
Correct.
Like, not solid gold, but obviously. But
gold-colored.
Gold-colored, you know. But
it makes them more exclusive. They're trying to make it like trading cards.
Exactly.
So when they resell them, the gold ones will be worth
more. So the regular ones were going on eBay for like $180 a piece.
What?
As of like, game time yesterday. And I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, so if you're, like, if you're going to wait in line for 10 hours to get something that's worth $180, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. But honestly, I think it's the interesting thing, I think, is Shohei gets his dog to throw out the first pitch, basically runs it out to him. I'm impressed that these animals can do this. Like, he's not, obviously this dog is not a, like, America's Got Talent or Stupid Pet Tricks dog. He's like house dog, right? I mean, but he's the kind of dog that probably can obviously teach stuff. But to sit on a mound in front of 50,000 people yelling and screaming and then to just on command run up there and then high-five you.
He high-fived him.
He high-fived him, too. I thought it was pretty cool.
I liked it, too.
I thought it was cool.
Take that, Matt Serois.
I mean, as far as first pitches go, I mean, it's no Machine Gun Kelly, but
no.
I mean...
What a jackass.
But seriously, like, we just had a whole thing about first pitches and how you could totally screw up a first pitch. And
yeah,
like,
I have.
And it's like, the only thing this guy can screw up is picking his interpreter. Like,
it's a pretty big screw up.
A big screw up, but I mean, like, what can't he do? I mean, think about it. Like,
he's a stud.
He's a stud. He goes out on that night, hits a home run in his first at bat, steals two bases. So he's got 42 home runs, 42 stolen bases, which he's coming up on A-Rod for the most overall 40-40. A-Rod had 46 stolen bases,
and
I believe.
No one's ever done 50-50?
No one's ever done 50-50, and you know he's going to do that. He'll probably do it by, like, September 15th
Is, say he gets to 50 home runs, Roberts is going to let him have the green light whenever he wants. Oh,
of course. Of course. And you know he's going to get on base, and he's throwing bullpen sessions, and he's been throwing bullpen sessions. So the Dodgers are a mess as far as their pitching. We all know that, and I'm sure whoever comes back is going to get hurt again. But the Dodgers piece it together. I will say it again. You're going to see Shohei pitch in
no
the
way.
World Series.
No way.
You're going to see it. The
no
guy
way.
The guy is, they call him the unicorn. I mean, he's crazy. Think about the three people in baseball that you're going to go pay to see. We've talked about this over and over again.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge.
Yep.
Shohei Ohtani, and I'm going to say Bobby Witt Jr. right now.
Yeah, certainly, and Mike Trout not anymore because he's never on the field. You can get right now, as of Thursday, $200 to $250 for a bobblehead.
The regular one.
Yeah.
Not the gold.
Not the gold-colored. Nope. So, I
but
mean, the gold one is 17.
Can be bad, though. They can also be bad. I've had bad bobbleheads.
Well, they break easy.
Well, that and they're not even like a bobblehead. Like,
well,
there's no bobble on the head.
If you're a collector, you don't even take it out of the box, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you do. You save it.
I have Yankee ones that I haven't taken out of the box that we got over the years, and like Mariano and I think Pettit, Judge, that we never took out of the box, or we only took one of them out and they put them in the boys' room and kept one, you know, in their box. But they were like actual bobbleheads. The head was like big and
right.
It bobbled. I've gotten them where, like, with a head, it's just like a figurine.
Right.
You're like, there's no bobble in this head.
You need some bobble.
Yeah, get out of here with this. Give me some bobble.
John Senecal, Brian Shackman, episode 165 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. So did you watch a lot of the Little League World Series?
I watched enough. I watched enough to know what's going on. I didn't watch, like, religiously all the time.
So the U.S. team, they tied it in the bottom of the
sixth,
and then they won it on a walk-off bunt
that the pitcher threw to nobody at the base.
Oh.
Nobody was covering. Yeah.
So what should he have done? He should have just gone, because the guy would have scored anyway, though. If he went because he was going on contact.
Yeah, I mean, the only way you're just not. I mean, in that situation, the only people that don't score on that are the Yankees. With a runner on third and no outs.
That's funny.
I mean, it's true, like, greatly, but still, like, you're basically screwed. You know, it's tough. It's a tough way to lose a game, but I mean.
You think it's a crappy call by the coach? Because I think it's brilliant. If
no,
your goal
I think
is
you
to win,
win. You
I
think
win. It was brilliant.
Absolutely.
I think it was brilliant.
And that guy's cutthroat. If you watched him, that coach, like, he was very emotional. You see a lot of coaches get politically correct when they're on the cameras, and he was probably the most unpolitically correct one coach you've seen in a while.
Was he saying MAGA stuff or something?
No, but you know what I mean. Not like politically correct. I'm talking about just not your typical stoic.
He's dropping,
like,
F-bombs?
Rah, rah, you know, don't worry, kid, we're going to get it.
Let's do it for the fun of it, boys.
Right, right. There's nothing at stake here, kids. It's all about having fun. But again, you know, Lake Mary Little League, I think they went to it last year too, and they didn't make it the whole way. But it's interesting that they're going... They're having a parade for him at Disney World, so most people are like, I'm going to Disney World, and it's like 8 miles south of where they're from.
Right.
So, I mean, not that great, but it's interesting. I feel like You watch the Little League World Series and look how it's evolved over years. Have you ever been to it?
Never.
No, I've been to it twice. It's really cool. It's I've went both times when Connecticut teams have went in the recent years. And I haven't been in probably, 10 years at least.
Well, they pack the place.
And it's very cool. It's free admission, I think, except for the final game. And they like the concessions are very cheap. It's like Little League. It's like you're going to a Little League game. You get freeze pops, you know, they bring the foul balls.
Right, you got kids messing around in the outfield.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. But it's, you know, I feel like as we've gotten more and more and more, you know, digital and everything, I think it's kind of getting a little kind of crazy, you know? It's like,
how so?
Well, I mean, it's so ultra focused. You got Major League game being played there now. You got, you know, the kids and the players and everybody's mic'd up. And,
you didn't like that.
Well, I mean, I like the fact that there's an opportunity, right? I like the fact there's an opportunity for player and fan interaction. I like the fact that Major League Baseball is moving the sport around the country and doing stuff like that. But at the same time, it becomes so just focused. Like, you just can't, like, Aaron Judge is getting criticized for not meeting up with Staten Island players.
Well, that guy was such a jerk.
And it's like, what, how much can these guys do? Like, right. how many different ways can these guys get pulled? You know, you got guys that are supposedly on the injured reserve sliding down hills in cardboard. You know, it's like, how much is too much? Like, do you need to be, you know, on mic'd on a 12-year-old kid when he's about to cry, zoomed in on him? Like, it's just, it's a great sport, and it's almost like it's becoming too professionalized to me in a way for Little League.
The Little League World Series.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I don't mind. I was glad to see the major leaguers participate because I don't think major leaguers do enough.
I think
kids.
It's cool, that part.
The pressure on the kids, I think, is a fair point. I think it's a little too much. And especially since, I mean, if you went all that way and lost on a bunt, I don't know how you could console another human being.
Yeah.
If you're a competitor. I mean,
and it's almost to the point now where it's like you almost can't even play baseball the way it's supposed to be played. It's like if something bad happens to some kid on the other team, it's like the other team is supposed to come over and console
them. Did we talk about this last week? I don't know. Because I think it's one of the most asinine things.
It's almost like
I don't want anybody, especially on the other team, say, patting me on the shoulder.
Right.
I mean,
like the other team's coach and stuff.
And
like,
it's not disrespectful. It's just like, stay away.
Exactly.
Like, it's not disrespectful to go celebrate. I think it's almost more condescending and disrespectful to come over and pat me on the bleeping back.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly think that is dumb.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean,
it's one thing, a kid gets hit in the ribs and he's walking down the first base. You give me, all right, you're all right.
But don't cry. We just beat you, but we're nice.
But it's
enough
okay.
To,
but it's okay if you're crying. We'll zoom straight in and get the ultra ISO on your face.
I wouldn't have been mad if one of the kids punched him. I really wouldn't. I just think that stuff is so condescending and like it's modern day sportsmanship taken the wrong way. That's just me. One post note. I mean, listen, we're both older than Rich Hill, but it's kind of amazing. At 44, he's going to end up, you know, pitching for the Red Sox again. I think it's his fourth or fifth stint with Boston.
It's nuts.
The third time they let him go, I thought they should have kept him.
I feel like he's been on like 13 or 14 different teams in his career.
He has been. I actually have it up on my screen.
Is he the old, like, I think, feel like Nolan Ryan was older than him when he was pitching.
No, but Negroes were old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were older than this. Cubs, Baltimore, Boston, Cleveland, Angels, Yankees, A's. Had I said the Dodgers yet?
Nope.
Nope. Dodgers, Minnesota, Mets, Pittsburgh. That's 11. I might have missed one. I might have been maybe Tampa.
Well, the good thing is he's not going to the Hall of Fame, so we don't have to worry about what cap he's wearing. But that's
what
amazing.
What a career, though. I mean, but it's weird that he does. Like with Boston a couple of times, he pitched great.
Yeah, and it's a testament, too, about being a left-handed pitcher, all you little leaguers out there. If you're a lefty,
you want
learn
longevity.
How to pitch.
Yeah.
And that's history through Major League Baseball. Lefty pitchers stick around. If your arm don't give out, you're pitching.
Back in 22 with the Sox, he went 8-7 with a 4.27.
I mean, let's be honest. He's not going to do absolutely anything worthwhile. I mean, he's going to get knocked around, but it's impressive that he's 44 and he's pitching.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
He's twice the age of a couple guys in that clubhouse.
I mean, I'd probably throw more balls than him at my age, but I'm not throwing him that fast, and I'm not getting out trying to get out major leaguers.
I mean, just the fact that he can get on a field and not be a coach is pretty cool.
Old Dick Mountain, baby.
Hey, I dropped my daughter off at college, you're about to do with your son.
Yeah, how'd that go?
So I was not as like emotional
as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like all, because I cry at commercials. I'm a pretty emotional guy. It's been more like once I got home and the door to her room's been closed for a week straight. Like,
yeah.
It was more sinking like in. The void at home yeah. has been more pronounced than like me saying goodbye to her, because she's got to go. It's yeah. not like she's not going to go. So I would say it was surreal. And, you know, I don't know what your son's going to be like, but she was kind of emotional. So I think I felt like it would have been weird if I was too, because it was just made it harder for her. And I didn't consciously keep it together for that end, but I feel like that's what happened.
Was it like a whole day festivities thing, or you just dropped her off and got up?
No. Well, there was like an afternoon session for parents that my wife and I signed up for, but we did not go.
Yeah.
We're just like,
but it was like a barbecue or anything like that.
No, we registered and then went over to the dorm and then started unpacking, then went to lunch and then back to the dorm to finish.
Yep.
And then we left. So we got there at like, I'd say 9 in the morning. We left at like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like drop and go, but we didn't go out to dinner or anything like that. And it was one of those things where we just had to go.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what we're up against. Friday morning, we do between 9 and 10, we got to be there. And then there's, you know, some barbecue that they have and then some sort of address from the president. And then we should be done there by like 3 o'clock or something. But I think the same thing's going to be. I mean, I'm actually kind of looking forward for him to leave, because it will be different. You know what I mean? It's just everything's been chaos lately, you know, in the house, just as far as just,
we're not going to air out too much dirty laundry.
Yeah. But I feel like it's going to be the same thing. And I've told my other friends this, I feel like it's going to be, you know, after a week or so, it's going to be that void. It's going to be the not having someone to pick on his brother that I have to say something about for the millionth
time. Well, your other son's probably going to be in the worst shape.
Yeah. And not having someone to look over and come in and be like, you got to be kidding me. What's good with Alex Verdugo? You know, like, I'm going to miss that. You know, like that kind of stuff, and sitting down and talking about the Yankees and watching the game together. So there'll be that part. But the good thing is, you know, they're not going to be far away. And you know, it's not like we went to college, Brian. There is digital, you know, there's all sorts of ways to communicate instantly. But I think it's I think honestly it's going to be a bigger snap in the face to him than us, because he's going to have to really figure some things out. It's not going to be as easy as he thinks.
Two things I'll say. One is, in summation, I've had parents with kids who've been through it. Said that's one of the most interesting things when the kids leave, is that they sometimes often get more grateful for home, because they realize how much you took care of.
Yeah.
And you know, the second thing is that when he comes home at Thanksgiving, he will be a different person.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I know that. And we'll be different, too. I mean, just not just looks, but it's just you know, you don't go that long without, you know, getting influenced or something. It's just going to change. Whatever. Plus, you got to grow up. You have to grow up. You have no choice.
There's no choice.
There's literally no choice. The only choice is coming home. And I'm not dropping 50 grand to come home.
There you go. Laying down the gauntlet. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.